something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Right, no scripts there. Are you ready?
No.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton and she's the lovely Steph Barnett. And tell us, what's coming up today?
We've got a couple of police, some gods and queers, and the end of the world and some fetish kit. How's that?
Yep, fine, that's good. All okay. Coming today, right here on Shout Out.
I blame the radio gods.
What?
The radio gods are in the system.
The radio gremlins.
Yes.
You're all about
so
the
apologies for the start. So yeah. For the other stations who were live with, there would have been a bit of a crossover.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Our news seems to stop working. I don't know whether it's the weather or not. Sometimes when it's really bad weather.
Maybe there's no news.
Yeah, maybe it's bad workman.
Yeah,
always blames.
Put another coin in the meter.
Yes,
normally fixes it, doesn't it?
We can't afford that, Matthew.
And hello, Matthew. Hello, Terry.
Hello. How are you both? Good evening. Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Are you looking forward to Storm Callum that's heading our way? Due to hit us this weekend.
Certainly better than having Michael hit us.
Yeah, true.
I am a bit of a Storm fan, so yes, I do enjoy these moments. I've got the charts going and everything, so I shall be enjoying it. I apologise for anybody that doesn't like them or anyone. Obviously, I don't like to see any destruction, but I just find weather fascinating.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, I work with a guy called Callum. So when Storm Callum was hitting, we were just like, what are you doing, mate?
This is not on.
Is he gay?
No.
Oh, see, no. He can't control the weather. No. Only gays control the weather. So. You know that.
There was another report this week on the Gay Newswires that some fundamentalist preacher, I think in Scotland, had said that all the adverse weather, wildfires, storms and that were all caused by the gays. So we really got actually a lot of power.
He was listening to UKIP.
So what I'd say is, you know, don't cross us.
On a serious note, though, my heart does go out to those in America at the moment being hit by Storm Michael, because it's the biggest storm in recorded history to hit with winds of 155 miles an hour. It's causing some serious devastation.
It is. And it's heading north from Florida to the Carolinas, I think, at the moment.
It is. Yeah.
It went over Georgia, I think, didn't it?
It did, and we mustn't also forget the flooding that happened in Mallorca as well this week.
Oh, right.
It's just not good. That claimed a couple of British lives,
is.
I think. Yeah,
yeah, they were in a taxi at the time.
Basically, you need to respect the weather.
Yeah.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, on a lighter note, it's National Coming Out Day, everyone.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, 11th of October.
Happy Coming Out Day.
Thank you, Randy, for reminding me. Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to come out?
Well, if you've already come out, you're supposed to say how many years ago it was you came out. The problem is that makes me sound really old, because it was...
You are really old.
22 years ago I came out.
22 years. Mm. Wow. Man and boy.
What was it for you? 40, what? 50?
40? What? Come 40? Out as what?
Coming out. It's National Coming Out Day.
I came out when I was 4.
Oh, did you? Well, it doesn't surprise me.
Early starter.
Yeah.
Do you know, when I came out, my father said, and are you a practicing homosexual? I said, no, I'm quite good actually.
That's a very good response.
I'll have to remember that one. That's really good. So, this week's My Five, we're heading back over to the lovely people at Avon and Somerset Police. So have a listen to this.
My Five on Shout Out.
Good evening, everybody. It's Helen speaking from Avon and Somerset LGBT Liaison Officers, and I'm here with...
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
I'm awake.
Mike has been on nights, so he's got up early for us today to come and take part in the podcast, so thank you, Mike.
But I've just had a Costa, so I'm well up for it.
Other coffees are available?
Yeah, they are indeed. Starbucks.
Anyway, so topical points for the LGBT community and policing at the moment. Next week sees the end of the government consultation into the Gender Recognition Act. So please make sure, if you haven't already, to get your views captured on that survey, which is available on the government website. The whole issue is proving to be very divisive amongst some members of our community, so it's very important that everybody's views get captured. We've also been celebrating Bi Visibility Day on the 23rd of September, and we're hoping that things increasingly get better for our bisexual friends in our community.
Can I just come in there, H? Because obviously, yeah. The Channel 4 are running a documentary around bisexuality, and also there is a drama starting on BBC Three, I believe, again on the same subject matter. So I think, obviously, yes, bi visibility, but I think as well in the media, I think that subject seems to be being picked up at this particular moment.
And I think also there's a new drama with Anna Friel, isn't there?
There is,
called,
yeah.
Is it The Butterfly?
The Butterfly, yeah. And that's about parents dealing with a male-to-female child.
That's great. So what else have I been doing? I've been carrying on doing my student talk. So every new group of students that comes to the policing training centre here receives a talk from the various staff support groups. And we've been really, really blessed recently, because every intake that we've been running, we've had people approach us afterwards and say that they want to be part of the liaison team. So I'm really pleased that that message is getting out for us.
I think certainly I would say I'd concur with that. We've seen a little bit of a surge of late of people wanting to join, which is great. And I think we've also had an indication, shall we say, that those people that are looking to join are quite happy to be out with their sexuality.
And I also wanted to give a bit of a shout out as well to Nigel and the North Somerset LGBT Forum. They've recently opened a new meeting space, a new bar called the Proud Bar at 20 The Boulevard in Weston-super-Mare. And they're open from Wednesdays to Sundays, afternoons and evenings. So please pop down there and give Nigel some support. Thank you.
In fact, I'm going there next weekend. Oh. I'm going to give that bar a whirl.
Is that for you youngsters that have got
That's
social
for us
lives?
Youngsters, H, yeah. I should be drinking a sweet sherry, with a packet of pork scratchings. But just going back to what we opened with, the Police Federation at the moment as well have put a document out, H, correct me if I'm wrong, for us to basically come back with comments on around their equality,
yes,
plan, which I'm yet to digest that, and I've got to obviously feedback comments to you, and I think the closing date was today, but you'll just have to forgive me on that. I will get to it. And I think next time we do one of these podcasts, I'm going to talk about BTP as well, because they've just done their year-end report around particularly sexual violence on public transport. But again, that's something that I've just received and need to digest. But I'm going to talk about that next during the next podcast.
Okay. And also we've got Hate Crime Awareness Week coming up. So don't be surprised if you see a lot more literature and awareness raising going on from the police. We're doing some work in partnership with British Transport Police, particularly centering on issues that LGBT people face using public transport systems. So if anyone has any information or any concerns about that, please get in touch with us in our usual way.
Well, in fact, there's a great tie-in then, isn't there, obviously based on the report they've just put out, and then obviously that link-in we're doing there.
October sees Black History Month, and we have asked our colleagues in the Black Police Association to reach out to some of the groups in our area in the southwest, particularly to Kiki, who are a group that support people of colour who are a new group, and I went to one of their events in the lead up to Pride this year, where they had some incredibly interesting speakers. And so we're encouraging members of the Black Police Association within our force to make contact with them.
I think probably that's coming to the end of all we've got time for in this little podcast. But join us again, where we'll be talking about or following up on some of the subjects that we've covered in today's podcast. So it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me, but don't forget to get in touch with us if you have any concerns or any problems in the usual way. Thank you.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Meghan Trainor and All About the Bass. Apparently it's rather good for twerking too, I'm informed.
Can you twerk?
Can I twerk? No, I don't think I've ever tried.
Do you want to have a go now?
No, not particularly.
In front of 60,000 listeners?
No.
Sure?
Well, they wouldn't know if I was.
You've got a magic microphone, you know that.
Can you twerk?
Does it look as though I can twerk at my age? My Zimmer's parked next to me.
Now, there's actually a gay version of this, isn't there? There's a version by
twerking
of this track.
All About the Bass.
They show it in the Bear Bar. It's by a guy called Deviant Otter.
Oh, okay.
I think if you YouTube him,
has it changed the lyrics or something?
No. It's quite true to the original, but it involves lots of.
Otters
and bears twerking.
Really?
Yes.
And they're twerking. Oh, well, there
you go.
That
kind of thing.
But the otters have got such a huge tail. How's that going to work?
Oh, funny.
Absolutely.
Anyway, moving on. We're going to catch up again with Ella. We broadcast this before, didn't we?
A long time ago.
Ages ago. Yeah. But yeah, we're kind of missing Ella and all of her history boffin stuff. It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, she keeps leaving us.
And this is
need to chain her to the seat.
Yeah, well, hopefully she'll be back at Christmas. You never know.
Good.
So, but good. Anyway, this was an episode we did on Gods and Queers, I think we titled it, didn't we?
Yes.
So have a listen to this.
Today we're going to talk about Greek mythology and more specifically Greek gods, because most people are familiar with some Greek gods. Zeus, the big lightning guy, you probably know of.
Yes.
Aphrodite or Venus, the goddess of love, you probably know her.
Well, of course, the Percy Jackson films.
I love Percy Jackson.
Yeah. So how do we get from Greek gods to LGBT stuff?
Well,
don't tell me Zeus was gay.
Zeus was pansexual.
Oh.
Yep. So basically, traditionally, most people know the Greek Empire was fantastically queer, and its pantheon of gods was similarly so. However, specifically, there are a couple of really nice stories that I like that I feel like people don't talk about enough.
Right.
Transgender love stories, for example, in which people undergo an actual sex change in order to live in the identity they believe that they are, is one that I don't think we talk about very much. We've got
talking in Greek times, though.
Yep.
I mean, did they have the medical technology back then to do that, or was
this is a mythological story. So
right.
A goddess turns someone who was assigned female at birth into a man, but that person was raised as a man, believes themselves to be a man, falls in love with a woman. The woman doesn't know that they are assigned female, and on the night of their wedding, they're freaking out because they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I don't know how I feel about being in love with someone. I don't know how I feel about my gender. I don't know what to do. And the goddess Isis, who is actually an Egyptian goddess, grants Iphis is his name, Iphis's wish, and turns him into a man on his wedding night, and he lives very happily with the great love of his life, Ianthe.
Yeah.
It's in Ovid's Metamorphoses.
Yeah.
You never knew that one.
So was the god, like, did the god make it a pretend transformation in the first place then, if it wasn't till the wedding night that it was discovered.
So what happened was, as you might know, Greece was a pretty sexist patriarchal empire, and in the story Telethusa, who is Iphis's mother, is told by her husband that if she doesn't give birth to a boy, then he's gonna kill the baby or abandon it. And so she raises her child, who is assigned female, as a man, and right. her child kind of thinks that he is a man, and then starts like learning more about bodies and stuff. It gets very confused and grows up with Ianthe and falls in love with Ianthe, and they're very much they're in love from childhood, and then gets to this big crisis when he's like late teens, early 20s, where he's supposed to be getting married. His mother keeps putting off the wedding because she's freaking out, because she's like, someone's gonna have, you know, intimate relations with you and is gonna find out that you were assigned female. And then a goddess intercedes and makes it so.
This is one of the things I love about Ella's storytelling. It would only be someone as young as Ella that would say freaking out while talking about talking about Greek gods and mothers.
I could have done with one of them gods or goddesses doing that when I was four.
I know. But you know what, Steffi, one of the things I love about this is that according to Ovid, transgender identities are divinely approved. And that's pretty cool. And on top of that, by the way, just to mention, there is a god for intersex people, a god of intersexuality, who is intersex themselves. They're called Hermaphroditus. And depending on which myth you take, they were either born intersex or they became intersex when the child of Hermes, the god of thieves and messengers, has an illicit liaison with Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and they have their child Hermaphroditus. And a nymph, a water nymph called Salmasis, falls so in love with Hermaphroditus that she clasps him at the time. And she begs the gods for them to be together forever, and the gods decide to make two genders into one body. And so Hermaphroditus becomes the god of intersexuality.
What a lovely story.
Yeah, I like
it.
It's
a really nice myth, isn't it?
I think that's quite a beautiful one.
Yeah.
So is this something that we've actually found documented then?
Because yeah, we've got statues of Hermaphroditus.
Have we? Wow.
Yeah, with breasts and a penis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Hermaphroditus is like repeatedly referred to, yeah. Then we've got Ganymede, who was the male lover of Zeus. Zeus, who was married to Hera, so is hella pansexual. And a lot of the gods in the pantheon are hella pansexual. Yeah, well, they are. I mean, so
What's hella pansexual? So tell me.
I mean, it's what Zeus does. Right. Yeah, so basically Zeus sees this beautiful, beautiful Trojan man called Ganymede and falls so in love with him that he makes this man a god so that he can eternally be his lover, basically.
You don't see any of this in the movies.
No, they could do with putting a bit of this in Percy
Jackson. I didn't
see
any of that, Jason and the Argonauts.
They might have to give him a different rating, wouldn't they?
But you know what? Actually, you will see it in paintings. If you ever see a young, beautiful man holding a cup next to Zeus, he is quite literally the god of homosexuality, Ganymede, and the lover of Zeus. So if you go into some fancy museum or church, you will see a painting of Zeus's male lover.
Because was it so far back in history that it didn't suffer that we tried to cover it up because of our own beliefs throughout the centuries?
Not exactly. It's a slightly different situation. So I really want to mention lesbian myths as well, because I feel like, it, especially in Greek myths, we tend to focus on things like Achilles and Patroclus, whose love story is beautiful and phenomenal and one of the greatest love stories of all time. But we don't think so much about women. And part of that is because in the Greek Empire, male homosexual love was seen as kind of, it served a political and social function, so it was quite venerated. And there was specifically this kind of gay love that was really admired and respected, where you had an older gay man and a younger, more inexperienced gay man, and the older one would be like his tutor kind of thing, and then would help him with social and political like ambition and hierarchies and stuff. So in that way, it was viewed differently. Love between women, it's slightly more difficult. Lots of people think that it didn't really happen, but then we have Sappho, famously a very, 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 very gay woman, who wrote odes to Aphrodite and talked a lot about stuff. And we also have vases of women having sexual relations with each other. We have Artemis and Callisto. Callisto was a woman loved by Zeus, and in a Greek comedy play, Zeus pretends to be Artemis naked in a bath in order to seduce Callisto, because it's the only way to make her have sex with him. And then Artemis makes her into Ursa Major, the constellation. We have Athena and Myrmex. So that's the discovery of the plough. Athena, Myrmex was beloved of Athena, the goddess of war and wisdom. And Myrmex was this beautiful maiden in whom Athena confided her inventions and her secret knowledge. But Myrmex decided to share with us how to make the plough, which feels appropriately gay. And Athena was so betrayed that she turned Myrmex into an ant, but Myrmex's descendants became the Myrmidons, who were turned from ants into soldiers by Zeus and fought in the Trojan War.
So I always thought that a lot of the myths were based in things that actually happened at the time. It was just a lack of understanding of things that are going on. But some of it does sound a little bit over-exaggerated, especially where it's gods doing things like turning people into ants and the like. I mean,
oh, well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, a pantheon is always going to be a reflection of the social reality, right? And that's part of why I'm bringing this into a history slot, not a theology slot.
Because well, yes.
Historically, the gods were real to people, and historically, people emulated the gods. They wanted to act like the gods. So if Artemis was in love with a woman called Callisto, and you were a follower of Artemis, then you might look at women differently. If Zeus had a male lover Ganymede, then it's totally okay for you to have a male lover because Zeus does it. You know, when you have to think about the fact that gods not only set precedents, but they also reflected the psychological reality of that point in history. They reflected people's ambitions and their loves and their desires and their fears and their anxieties. So maybe you're not going to get turned into an ant, but maybe you are afraid that if you have a liaison with a woman and it's a little bit maybe under the covers and then you share with her your secrets, she might use them and take them for her own and leave you and betray you.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the gods were a reflection of Greek society, as in the sex and the homosexuality, the lesbianism that was going on?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Sappho was definitely gay, and she was a real person. Achilles and Patroclus were not real people, but Homer was a real person, and so was Alexander the Great, and they were both bisexual/gay, and wrote about bisexual/gay love.
It's been a completely different time to live in.
Yeah.
With it being so okay and so open.
It's before you were born, Andy.
I mean, before you were born, which is a miracle.
A different kind of hell. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
It's 65,000 listeners just went...
Do you know what, Steffi, if you were a god, would Andy be an ant right now?
Yeah, probably. I'd be a lot worse than an ant, though.
You'd be a very crushed ant as well.
And I also want to mention that we have legal cases in the Greek Empire of, for example, people who are intersex, who are known to be intersex, and one person who was living as a man, as a doctor, and it was revealed that they didn't have a penis, and they went to a trial, and the trial conclusion was basically, which gender do you want to be? And the person said, I want to be a man, because I'm a man. And they said, okay, you're legally a man. And that was the end of that.
Oh.
Which is how it kind of should be now, really.
Well, you'd thunk.
Yeah. It's a very different world, of course, because all the major civilizations were what we today class as pagan civilizations, with a big pantheon of gods with lots and lots of different mythologies around them. It's only later, when the Roman Empire adopts a monotheistic kind of religion, that the sort of oppression of gender and sexual minorities really begins to sort of get entrenched, I think.
Yeah, they were very intelligent people, weren't they? Going back to the time of Greek gods and the like. I mean, they built some amazing
foundation
places.
Of democracy,
Didn't they discover things like the predecessor to paper that they wrote on papyrus?
Papyrus. Yeah. I think that might have been the Egyptians.
Egyptian.
But one cool thing that the Greeks did, as well as democracy, which is a good one, Terry, but it's the golden section, which we see in the Parthenon, which is foundational to architecture and also pretty much all Renaissance painting or Renaissance painting. The Greeks were a great deal of fun. Medicine, modern medicine, starts in Greece. I wanted to say
philosophy, politics, cult, a lot of. You know, a lot of foundations of Western cultural
and we
thought.
Build a lot of our poetry and mythology and storytelling and novels and psychology on what the Greeks were doing, and that's really exciting. I also want to mention that it was really like religious reforms in the 1800s and a really strict crackdown on gender and sexuality and also socioeconomic class that led to a lot of the prejudices and ideas that we have about gender today. It's really, on a historical timescale, very, very modern to think about gender and sexuality in the way that we do. That's not to say that people didn't experience prejudice. They did. But the way we think about things is a very strict binary, is something that is very much always heterosexual and opposite and needs to follow certain rules. That's an 1800s thing.
Yeah, we lock our boxes far too much still, don't we? So... And it's really not like that. So it's fascinating. I didn't know Zeus had a boyfriend.
Ganymede, yeah, really pretty.
I think that's one of my favourites I've heard so far.
And the largest moon in the solar system is Ganymede, because obviously the planets and moon, they all have their roots in mythology. That's where we get the names from. And Ganymede is the largest moon in the in the solar system orbiting Jupiter.
Can yeah, I just and Jupiter is the other name for Zeus. Sorry,
no, is it?
Yeah. So it rather Ella fits. It's rather romantic.
Ella performed all this without a safety net. Not once did Ella refer to a script.
It's fantastic.
Just direct from her mouth to your ears.
Yeah, but this is why we love Ella so much. I mean, but this is we should say this is one of your hobbies, isn't it? This kind of level of research. I mean, you absolutely love. I can see totally the appeal because it's just you start talking about subjects and it's just fascinating. You really do kind of you know get really into them, don't you? It's
wow. That was I couldn't keep up.
Yeah, I do love Ella. Yeah. Hopefully, she'll be back at Christmas. So, but yeah, fascinating story there.
That would be great. Yeah,
it is.
And including finding out that Zeus has a boyfriend.
Yes.
And if you're a student of gay history and LGBT issues through culture and so on, I was browsing in the Hydra bookstore down on Old Market Street earlier, and they've got a lot of reprints in, just for a couple of quid, £1, £2 or donation, of some classic LGBT texts, including the original founding statement of STAR, which was one of the first trans action groups back in the early 70s. All these things have been reprinted, so they're available for sale down at Hydra. If like Ella, you like your queer history.
Anyway, stay with us. News headlines coming up next. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out podcast.
That's Believer by the Imagine Dragons. So I like that one. It's a real kind of powerful track, that one, isn't it? Yeah. What? You like?
You talking to me?
Do you like it? No.
It's all right. It's average.
It's not dancey enough for you, really.
Average choice that you usually make.
Oh, thank you. Lara likes my choice.
She does.
She speaks for all the audience, I'll have you know. You know what she's like.
I do know what she's like. And she's on next week.
Oh, is she? Oh, right. Yes. Okay. I'll better be quiet then. Anyway, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 11th of October.
Yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled in favour of a Christian-owned bakery in Northern Ireland, which had declined to make a cake for a gay group in support of same-sex marriage. Now, this news has split the LGBT community, with some activists, including Peter Tatchell, actually saying that the ruling is a victory for free speech.
Nigel Farage might not seem at first sight to be a particular friend to the LGBT communities, given the hostility of his former party, the UK Independence Party, towards marriage equality measures in 2013. However, the iconoclastic libertarian politician has sounded a note of concern about the direction in which UKIP is going. The once popular party has seen its vote collapse at recent polls, and with the departure of Mr. Farage, who was socially liberal on some issues, has lurched to the far right. Homophobic Christian extremist Alan Craig, formerly of the fringe theocratic grouping the Christian People's Alliance, has been appointed the party's spokesperson on families. He has caused outrage with a recent rant in which he blamed British Muslims for child abuse and insulted the Prophet Muhammad. Mr. Farage said that UKIP would die as an electoral force if it did continued to allow such extremists to hold positions of power.
The gay singer Sam Smith has graced the cover of a special supplement published with the Sunday Times to showcase the best in male fashion this autumn. The paper is broadly centre-right wing, but its selection of the popular singer to front its supplement shows how much the conservative base has changed in recent years to embrace gay equality.
The media website Digital Spy has published a major summary of what we know so far about the much-anticipated return of Doctor Who to our screens on these longer autumn evenings. The programme, which is now the longest-running television science fiction franchise, said goodbye to the 12th incarnation of the Doctor, played by Peter Capaldi, last Christmas. Jodie Whittaker takes over the helm of the TARDIS in the new series, which began on Sunday, the 7th of October, on BBC One. In all its 55-year history, the programme has never previously occupied the coveted Sunday evening family viewing slot. Whittaker's appointment did cause some backlash from certain quarters of fandom, but as long-standing enthusiasts of the show noted, it was established as early as 1979 when Time Lady Romana regenerated from the version played by Mary Tam to that portrayed by Lala Ward, that the Time Lords of Gallifrey can choose their new bodies nearly at will, and it is strongly implied that gender swapping is an option
time for them. Visit the Digital Spy website for more news on the 13th Doctor's companions and the enemies for what is surely to be a highlight of the autumn television schedules.
The Daily Mirror reflects on the changing nature of the royal family now that the Queen's cousin has married his partner in the monarchy's first same-sex wedding. Lord Ivar Mountbatten was given away by his ex-wife in a ceremony which shows that families can be filled with love after a heterosexual couple split when one reveals they are gay. Lord Ivar exchanged his vows with James Coyle, an airline cabin services director.
The pro-democracy broadcaster Radio Free Europe says the Prime Minister of Serbia and the mayor of the capital city, Belgrade, joined several hundred LGBT activists in a show of solidarity for a pride march and festival in the Balkan country. Prime Minister Ana Brnabic is the first openly gay state leader in southeastern Europe, where it is reported that homophobic prejudice remains widespread. Radio Free Europe reports that there have been no major incidents in Belgrade Pride since 2010, and that was when Nazis and fundamentalists tried to disrupt the peaceful march.
And finally, Jackdaw, the monthly journal of the anarchist communist group, reports that the Swansea Radical Book Fair takes place this Saturday, the 13th of October. You can expect leaflets and books, posters and badges from a wide variety of campaigning groups, including LGBT and gender liberation organisations. The book fair will interest the many LGBTQ people who are interested in politics and activism. You can do an internet search for the Swansea Radical Book Fair for more information, and remember that the Welsh word for Swansea is Abertawe.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Matthew Tosh.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The lovely Matt Alba there, and The End of the World. So I haven't played that one for a long time, but yeah, it was lovely.
Friend of Shout Out.
Very good friend of Shout Out, yes. Yeah, we've even had him play that live here in the studio. Yes. So
what a beautiful piece of music.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Mm. So. Who knows? We might get him back again at some point. So I haven't seen what. Yeah, I know he's gigging a lot because, of course, he's American. Mm. He's up and down the place over there. So anyway, I'm going to say a very warm welcome to a certain, former barman who won a certain shout out listeners award a couple of years ago, who's apparently very good at twerking. very warm welcome to Cameron. Hello, mate. How are you?
Evening. Thank you so much. I'm well. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm so pleased we asked you about twerking before we played that song.
It's all about that day.
I'm informed reliably there is a video somewhere, but we don't have it, so I'm sorry. I can't show you.
Cameron's in to show us how to make cocktails. So watch carefully.
Cocktails.
I can make you a cocktail.
Oh, you did work at the Shilling, so yeah. I guess you probably could make cocktails.
Yeah, exactly.
But things have moved on a bit since then, haven't they? Yeah. Do you want to tell us where you are now?
So now I am store manager of Simply Pleasure and Prowler, Bristol.
Amazing. So. And I know that's right. It's like opposite the Bear Pit, isn't it?
It's kind of opposite the Bear Pit on 30 Bond Street.
Yeah. And there's one in Soho.
There's one in Soho, Brighton, and now Barcelona as well.
Amazing.
Oh. And there's talks of a new one up in Leeds, so watch this space.
No, Barcelona would be the one I'd go to.
Barcelona's beautiful.
So nice and hot this time of year, Barcelona.
I was looking through the catalogue, and I found a gay starter kit. It only cost 27
gay
quid.
Starter kit.
Yeah, so if you're not gay
yet... Are you willing to get gay, are you?
No, I am. But, no, it's a starter kit, obviously not gay male, but gay female.
Right.
So, no, this is a starter kit for guys.
Yeah.
Not gals. Okay. It's only 27 quid. That's a bargain. If you want to become gay, it's only going to cost you 27 quid.
You are funny. So we ought to actually ask, because of course we know what Prowler and Simply Pleasure are, but for listeners, if they've never heard of either of those names, do you want to give us a kind of synopsis of what the store's about and the kind of stuff you sell?
Of course, yeah, go for it. So Simply Pleasure is the actual store that I work for,
right.
And they've got at least 26 companies from the north to the south and to London, different stores, and they took over Prowler 2 years ago. I started working for them in April, and as an avid customer beforehand, I knew that they had this Prowler launch, so in July we took it up. But essentially, it's just two collaboration between two adult entertainment stores which offer clothing to bondage, from adult entertainment videos and then to toys. So,
gay starter kits.
What does the a 27 quid bargain? If
I know,
you
right?
Okay.
Do you know, if next week we catch up with Cameron and he says I've sold out of those kits, I will be very, very amused.
You could advertise on BCFM. You could say gay, if you want to become gay, starter kit, 27 quid.
First thing
ready
first.
For Christmas.
Lubricant, I think, might be the way. Okay. You're going to start somewhere. I think that might be the first recommendation.
What does the other company do that took over Prowler?
We're just an adult entertainment store. So okay. not just an adult entertainment.
So is that porn videos?
Yeah, porn, okay. Bondage, lingerie, toys. We do everything from rechargeable.
Okay. So Prowler is just for gay guys?
Prowler's a gay male brand. Yeah, it started in 1989, so 30 years.
I was going to say, it's been around a while.
30 years next year.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, so, I mean, for my generation and sort of Andy, we sort of like came out to Prowler, didn't we? It was always there. You know, so, you know, buying books and buying, you know,
cheeky calendar.
Well, the internet, it sounds really odd, but the internet wasn't what it is now.
And
of course back then everything to do with being gay was so much more underground because it was not so okay. You know, is some of that still around though? Do you find customers get a bit sheepish about coming in, or are they being a lot more open about stuff these days?
I feel it's a lot more open, especially with like social media and all the lifestyle entertainment which is going on TV, showcasing LGBTQ and IA, how accepting we all are. There's still obviously a certain amount of taboo.
Yeah.
But then once you go through our door, we're so light inside. Like, we've got myself and three other girls who are completely, completely alternative, lovely, submissive, dominative, vanilla to kinky. We're all quite like-minded.
But that must be one of the main things about it. Because if you're not that kind of nice person, it can be quite an off-put, couldn't it? You know.
Yeah, there are still some stores in a certain area of Bristol which are a little bit dark and seedy, so I hope that our store's light, accepting, and has everyone in. Everyone's welcome. There is still a taboo, which is a shame. But
can I just ask, seeing this coming up to Christmas and people want Christmas ideas, do you do a wrapping service?
I know we're all good with our hands, but I don't think we're going to offer that service for Christmas.
Okay, just asking.
We do 3 for 2 on toys, clothing, bondage. So you buy 2 items, we give you a third
three
one for
two.
Free.
Wow.
I know, right? It's actually pretty decent. So that's the gay value starter kit for you, maybe.
It's like walking around Asda.
It's pretty fun.
Do you do stuff like the kind of like fun Christmas cards as well, and that kind of stuff?
Christmas cards?
Well, you know, the ones that are a bit kind of like tongue-in-cheek. And
I know on the website we've definitely got some naughty calendars and some wrapping paper. We don't think we'll do the service, but I can get the paper in for you.
Did you mean to say
the
that?
Office wall, yeah.
Tongue in cheek. Did you really mean to say did you really mean to say that on air?
Why not?
Yes.
Just wondering, just asking.
Can I actually ask you, Cameron, do you design the window display? Because I walk past that every single day on my way to work, and it's really uplifting to see sort of a rainbow flag display. And you're wearing a fantastic t-shirt which is depicting a very attractive young man with a ball gag in his mouth.
Tom Taylor designs.
So that, you know, it's really nice to see something really positive. But out and proud in Bristol.
Well, it's just kind of nicer that things are more acceptable these days than they were. I mean, you go back in time and anything to do with sex and sexuality was so taboo and hidden, and you know, no one ever did anything at all. You know, babies came down from like a
stork,
wasn't it? They used to say that kind of thing. You know, so it's good to hear that it's kind of turning about face.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like we're just trying to be as open as acceptable and humanize it, because we all, even if you don't want to talk about it, we all have that kind of sexual relationship, even if you are asexual, but you still got to have that bit of love and compassion. So our store can help you along the way, if you want it to be said like that.
So now on a slightly se- separate subjects as well. I hear firstly a venue that closed for a while is back, and secondly you might be doing a certain act there.
Yeah, so it's a new venue. It's a venue called Briscoe, which used to be the Retreat in Old Market,
and then it was the Duchess and then it for was a little while,
yeah,
wasn't
Dutch,
it?
And the what's gym called now? Bar, and now it's called Briscoe.
Briscoe, okay.
B-R-I-S-C-O, Briscoe. Okay. And yeah, I do like a weekly drag night called Faux Fur and Big Knickers.
Right.
You know, because sometimes
you don't look big enough to have big knickers.
Oh, I love a big knicker, babe. I love a big knicker.
But you've got a small bum.
How dare you? I'm working on it. But I do karaoke performances and game shows.
Right.
And anyone that plays a game or anyone that sings karaoke also get 10% off at Prowler or Simply Pleasure and or.
And
so
or,
if you come in on a Sunday from 8 o'clock, eight till late, and have a little go, cheeky game, then you can have.
Is that when you're on? Is it Sunday evenings?
Sunday evenings. Yeah, we're trying to target like the people that work on, obviously working in the bar industry for 2 years, trying to target the people that work in the industry and they have that Sunday night off. So
right.
Let your hair down.
Yeah, well, though, it doesn't mean that anyone else can't
everyone,
go along, though.
Everyone's welcome. Fully accessible bar as well.
I have to admit, it's really nice to hear the venues open again, because, of course, when the Retreat went, we were like, oh, what's going to happen? And then the Duchess opened, and we were like, marvellous, it's open again, and then it just disappeared. Yeah. So it's good to hear it's come back. I haven't heard anything about the Palace yet. I don't know what's going on with that.
On that, aren't we?
So, I hope we don't lose that.
Yeah, me too.
There have been a couple of talks on Facebook today about people thinking about it, so that's a bonus.
I wouldn't take that as a gospel truth, though.
No.
Read it on Facebook, to be fair.
True.
So anyway, if people want to find out more, obviously they can pop into the store and come and say hello to Cameron's his name, so come in and ask for him. But if they want to find out more about Prowler and the like, you've got websites and that kind of stuff, haven't you?
So we've got simplypleasure.co.uk, we've got prowler.com or .co.uk, and then we've also got a Twitter, which is at Prowler Stores, and then we've got a Facebook, which is at Prowler Bristol. So if you ever want to get in contact, then please feel free to.
Cool. And if you'd like a discount, go along and to Briscoe on Sunday and
do a bit of karaoke.
And do a bit of karaoke.
Yeah.
So.
Please do.
So anyway, it's been lovely talking
to you.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And go home and polish your award. Make sure that's on the shelf somewhere.
In the bog. Classy bird I am.
So anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go. We thought that was a bit fitting for you there, Cameron. Prowler. You think you're a man.
The Prowler remix is divine, isn't it?
Is it? Okay. So you're going to be performing that this Sunday, then?
I'll give it a go.
Oh, yes.
Eyebrows on fleek.
Yes, definitely.
Nice.
Did you say you had something you wanted us to try and fit in?
No. Well, there's a few things on our Twitter feed. That's shoutout_radio. The Australians, you know that they found that transgender was actually within the DNA, so there's even more scientific evidence now. Yeah. The Dutch found that there was female brains within a trans female. They found the DNA. Now they've gone on to find 30 different genders.
Wow.
I think the total gender count's 100 and something.
Well,
isn't
no, this
it?
Is scientifically. They found 30 different genders working on the DNA and brain functions.
Right, I was going to say, is it sort of hardwired into people's
absolutely.
You know, synapses and, their brains?
Yeah, which is
won't surprise a lot of us, but that's nice to have that kind of scientific evidence.
I think
evidence,
because
of
the trans community has taken such a hit at the moment, then we need some scientific facts to just throw back in people's faces.
Yeah,
literally.
Big wallop.
Yeah. Pristina and Kosovo had their second pride ever. Good.
Did it pass off without incident?
I think there was a police officer for every person attending.
Yeah. We have that in this country.
Indeed.
If you go back enough years.
If you think of the sort of like early 70s pride marches, there were more police than there were marches in the early days.
Yeah, absolutely. There was another item about using the term women spelt WOMXN rather than women because of this that obviously women ends in men or man, you know.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so thus argue amongst yourselves.
Well, of course, in the 1980s, I mean, there were a number of groups that, that called themselves women, spelt W-I-M-M-I-N. You know, rather than W-I-M-E-N. So, quite a few activists, actually. Quite a few activist groups named themselves. So it's kind of revisiting that, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've just, I was saying, we just noticed on the feed from the BBC, which pops up on a wonderful screen designed by our own Andy on the wall here, that same-sex mice couples have given birth, apparently. I don't know the details of that, but
No, but it is on the BBC News. Because I saw it pop up earlier, and I was like, oh, I'll have a read of that and see if that's something Terry might like.
Very interesting. So it's a hope for you and Carl.
We keep trying.
I'm sure you do.
Wonderful. But
are you listening to this, Carl?
See, maybe one day.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you want to see Steph in Prowler kit, and sorry, no twerking though, but there is stuff on the website.
Really? Yeah. You wish. But you can grab a podcast if you so desire. Shoutoutradio.lgbt is the link you need.
Next week, we're having a kiki. So join us for that. But from myself and the rest of the team, and the lovely Cameron, say bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.